One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Maybe those bussy lips are a little too sensitive.
Oh, those little bussy lips, huh?
Want to blow your mind here, Eubin, on a smoky Sunday morning.
It has to be some of the snacks that were out, because I don't know how these people are getting the munchies and just, what are they, just eating carrots? What the fuck is going on? Because I can't do it. I see Rice Krispie treats and I'm like, that's going down.
Film that was never created called Shazam with Sinbad. People think that they saw a movie from the 90s called Shazam with Sinbad, which was actually Kazam with Shaq. And yes. People say, no, I actually saw it. I saw it. And everybody's like, no, I don't care what you say. I don't care. I saw it. It was a movie I saw. We had the VHS. My mom rented it. Saw it 6 times.
I think your butthole lips are just a little bit more sensitive.
I had the worst movement I've ever had in my life. And my wife comes into the bathroom and she's like, oh my God, it smells like you shit vomit.
In the realm of beard loss, a trio strong and true. Eubin, Brandon, and Beard Loss with tales both old and new. Their whiskers like a forest, their knowledge like a stream, guiding us through beardom and culinary dream. Beard Loss, the sage of facial grace, with whiskers flowing, setting the pace. Eubin, the jester in clouds of green, laughs in wisdom and sight unseen. Brandon J. McDermott, food daddy supreme, a feast of facts, a culinary
Welcome
dream.
Welcome back. Episode 218 of the Beard Loss podcast. Super excited to the voice you're hearing. That's me. That's Matt. It's Beard Laws joining me as always. You've been whacking off. Where's he whacking off? Who's he whacking off? When's he been whacking off? How many times has he whacked off? All of the whacking off. His real name apparently is Brandon. So we got Brandon squared. The other Brandon. Brandon J. McDermott. What's up, fellas?
Not too much. How's it going?
Oh, it's fantastic. We were talking a little bit backstage and don't want to talk about it a lot. Not because I don't want to, but Eubin and myself, we got asked by Copper Johns to MC a live event last night. And anybody that's listened to Triple T or the Beard Laws podcast, we're adults. And sometimes we say adult words. Every once in a while, we drop an F-bomb or shit or ass. Somebody told me that you're allowed to say ass because it's in the Bible. I don't know how true that is. I haven't read it or been to a place that does it. But I'm gonna believe them. But we made it over 2 hours without swearing. And we did have a rule. Every time we swore, we were going to go ahead and put 25 cents into a donation, because they were raising money for a really good cause called I Got Your 622.org. And what they do is they pair service dogs with first responders and military people that need the help, need a dog. I think it's like $1,500 for a dog. And last night they were able to raise more than that. So somebody has the ability to get a service dog. So if you know anybody in the Utah area, or maybe it's even the nation, I can't exactly remember, but you can go to igotyour622.org and you can fill out, you can donate, you can volunteer. They actually brought a dude that had one of the service dogs who happened to have a great beard. And it was just really cool to see how much that dog really does help him. So it's a good thing. And it's one of those things. It started because the guy that started it, Brian, ex-military and everything like that. And he, as Tyson said, so I guess you can say it over there, he tried to undead himself I think is how he referred to. And from that moment, he was like, wow, something has to change. So thankfully he got the help and he continues to help other first responders and military people. And it's such a good cause. So super excited. Thank you, Tyson. I know you're probably not going to watch or listen to this, especially not with the family, because we do say some adult stuff, but thanks for letting us do it. It was a cool experience. And obviously thanks, Euban, for staying up late on a Saturday. I thought it was Friday the whole time.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. It was, there were some pretty good looking beards there, even with the kids competition. It was nice seeing the different types between, you know, having Lego or the one with the walker and everything.
Yep.
Now, did I think that I could last a whole 2 hours without saying at least one curse word? No. I was super proud of myself. We kept making little mile markers. We're like, hey, it's been 30 minutes, man. It's been an hour. Right? What's going on? I did realize that Tyson does have a terrible perception of time. I will say that, because he would be talking to us. He's, hey guys, you know, we're getting ready to start here in like 30 seconds. So, you know, I'm really excited that you guys are here. You know, sooner or later, we'll start in like 5 minutes. Can't thank you enough. I'll see you in 10. And we're just like, what is it? When are you going to be back here? 45 minutes later, he's like, you guys ready to start? We're like, oh yeah, we're ready, buddy. Yeah. Whenever you are. And he's like, yeah, you know, that only took about a couple minutes. And I'm like, just a few.
Yep. And these people are so used to it. Beard competitions, it's kind of the same questions, like, what do you use for beard products? How long you been growing your beard? And then you have me and Euban that are like, how many push-ups you think you can do? What's the weirdest thing in your fridge? Do you think you can beat Tyson in an arm wrestling contest? All this random stuff. And it was kind of cool. There was, you know, I don't know how many people, but there was kind of like a live audience. There was people there that could hear us, and we were getting a lot of laughs and stuff. So hopefully it was a pretty good event. It was a good event. They raised enough for there. And because Euban and myself are who we are, we decided live to put Logan on the spot from Dad Bod and Beards and the SWFFL football podcast to put a number on what it would take for him to cut his jeans into Daisy Dukes. And he said $1,500, and we beat it. So Logan now has to rock a pair of Daisy Dukes thanks to us. So get it, boy.
So
good for you boys in helping out. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, something like that. And let's be honest, if Tyson's like one of, if not the nicest person that I've ever met, and if he is ever like, I really need your help, it's hard for me to say no. I think it's equivalent if somebody goes to church and the church dude's like, I really need your help, son, can you put some money in this thing that we pass around? I feel like I'd be obligated to be like, I got you, dog, and put some money in there. But so I guess Tyson is the church dude pastor. What is that, what they're called? Pastures?
Pasture
is where you put cows. Pastor, right. I am really good at saying words. So,
is there a lot of dairy cows up in upper outstate New York?
Lots.
I thought so.
Lots. Yeah, pasteurized milk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, again, shout out to you boys for helping out with that. That's great. Always a good way to give back, even if you're remote. I mean, it's volunteerism is important, helping your community, helping folks around. Whether your community is your town or your community is the beard community, it's great to help out. Yeah. I do want to point out the fact that Euban's shirt, it looks like there's a Ritz cracker on it, and I'm just so fucking hungry right now.
I thought it was a cookie. I kept looking down. I was like, did he forget a cookie there?
My Dragon Ball. No, I was looking, though. I saw, you know, like those little breadsticks with the cheese that you get for, like, little kids or whatever? It's
the dipsticks?
Yeah, like little dipsticks. Like, sometimes they have pretzels or whatever. I saw one of those over there, and I was like, but it was my fat ass ate it yesterday. Apparently, usually I you know, don't make eye contact with me when I eat one of these things, because I'm going to stick my tongue in the cheese thing and I'm going to get every bit of that cheese out. Apparently this time I didn't. And so I saw a little bit of that orange. I'm like, oh, is there a snack in here? Can I eat this during this podcast without them noticing? Empty. Hope so.
Sorry that happened to you. Maybe I'll DoorDash you. We also had the idea that we were going to start DoorDashing Logan Sprites at the event to see if he would chug them in front of people. But we decided we should probably back off a little bit. And towards the end of it, We were a little loosey-goosey, and thankfully we still held it together, and Tyson did most of the talk. And I think he teared up a little bit, which is just a sign of how good of a guy he is and how it meant so much to him. But you did mention that Tyson has a terrible time management or whatever. I was reading something the other day, and apparently there's all these experts, which I'm not really sure what an expert is, but they're saying that time doesn't actually exist. Have you heard all this shit yet? It's like all over the news that time doesn't exist. And I had a link. I'm just going to bring this up. But apparently it's something like all these physicists and all these people are saying that it doesn't like exist at any level. It's just this. I'm trying to think. There's all these scientific work. Well, I'll get your initial thoughts on that, and I'll find the article because it was a concept that doesn't make any goddamn sense to me.
I'm not gonna lie. I violently ripped this pin before we started filming. And what you're doing is you're going down a dangerous path. Okay, you're gonna get me tripping very hardcore, and
you're welcome.
I already felt my chest. It's like time's not real. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, what is real? What's going on? No, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. Don't look it up. Don't share that with me. I'll be back whenever you're done.
Okay, fair enough. We're not gonna go there. We're gonna go there. So apparently, time it's relative, but not absolute. That's what they defined it as.
Well, I mean, listen, you get start talking about quantum physics and stuff, and you lose the fat man. All right, I'm just like, but you know, in putting it that way, it's relative. Yeah, I mean, because I can tell you, 20 years ago, I definitely feel a lot different than I did then. Yep. Now, did we as humans try to measure what we perceive as time? Yes, of course we did. You know, we watched the sun, we watched the moon, we watched the stars move as the days shifted. The stars shift as the days moved, whatever. So we wanted to craft and put a definition on it at some point, right? At a very elementary level, I guess. But I mean, yeah, the smart people can say that we've been here for 750, 6 billion years. And, you know, humans have only been around for 100,000 years or so, give or take. None of that matters to me. You know what matters to me is if I buy a pizza and I leave it out overnight, it's going to be hard and crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my perception of time. So what I'm getting at is we know that we're going to be unalived at some point. We're not going to be here forever.
It's true.
And so you have to make the most of, I'm trying not to use the word time in my definition here, but it's fun to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, and you have guys like Hugh Hefner. I mean, he didn't have a single clock in his house. You know, obviously he was who he was, but there was a lot of natural light. Like, he just kind of lived in his own world. I mean, guys like that. And we were talking a little bit about comedy and some stuff like that before. Like, a lot of people that are comedians, a lot of people that are actors, a lot of stuff, they don't have time in that aspect because they don't need to really know what day of the week it is. They don't need to, you know, like I was listening to something with Sal Volcano and Chris D, and they were talking. They're like, what day is it? And they're like, well, it's Monday. Oh yeah, I guess I do know it's that because that's our record day. But he goes, I was in the airport and I asked somebody, I was like, hey, what day is it? And they're like, you don't know what day it is? He's like, no, that's why I'm asking you what day it is. And they're like, and just kind of this whole thing of how it's different for us, you know, that have our day jobs, our Monday through Fridays, and people from, you know, that just kind of are living that life. They're like, oh, it doesn't really matter. I just know I need to show up to this place on some day, and it doesn't, you know, really have to be this time and all that stuff. I just thought it was interesting. Not trying to fry your brain or anything, because it's probably already on its way there. But
there's a lot of cogwheels spinning right now. I don't know if you guys saw the smoke coming out of my ears, but I was just thinking about like how, yeah, like you base your life just based off of not only your career, but just certain things that are planned at certain times. Like, you're like, hey, I get to have fun, but usually it has to be on the weekend. Like, you're just waiting for a certain time. And then if the weather is bad during that specific time, you're fucked. I don't know. Too many cogwheels. I don't like this. What's bacon sounds good. I like bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a turkey club last week. Turkey club, big fan. That guy last night, he instantly cut out mustard. Like, he asked, what condiment can you live without the rest? He couldn't even get it out of his mouth, and was like, mustard. Like, even the spicy brown, yeah, all mustard. It's got to go.
I don't get folks who, flavor's different, taste is different, but I just don't get folks who just will just say, I don't like this one thing no matter what it is. I've tried brown mustard, I've tried yellow mustard, and I don't like it, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. There are ingredients I don't like for some reason that just don't sit right with me. I'm not a fan of watermelon or anything from the melon family. So I kind of understand it a little bit. I don't like capers. If you guys had capers, very strong flavor, very like vinegar based flavor, but it's not like pickles vinegar. It's like it's just a weird overpowering flavor, and people use too much of it. And so it just like, I've seen it in like salmon dishes and in fish dishes mostly, but it's just too much. It's too strong and pungent and powerful. But mustard, my dude, mustard is delicious. It's great.
And I wanted to be like, so you don't like barbecue food? Because almost every single barbecue uses like a mustard as a bind or in a barbecue sauce. Like mustard is so universal. I don't understand how I can hate it.
I don't. That's just it, blasphemy.
What's great about condiments specifically is the name. Yes. got some condiments. No, I wouldn't suggest putting that on. the great thing about them is that you can mix and bind them together. Barbecue sauce and mustard together makes the most delicious, like Carolina based sauce that you'll ever had in your life. This Carolina gold, basically. I'm not a fan of ketchup, but if you mix ketchup with other things, you get stuff like barbecue sauce, right?
Hell yeah.
Thousand Island dressing. I mean, there's just so many different condiments that are out there that are just a mixture and a combination of other things that are just terrific. I love it.
Did you know the Thousand Islands dressing was something that was created up in my area because we are the Thousand Islands area? And there was a entrepreneur who owned a bunch of stuff, started hotels. And actually, I think it's the guy that I can't remember, but it's been a while. But I think it's the guy that did the Bolt Castle, who built this whole castle on Hart Island for his wife, had this whole castle being built. Wife passed away, and then he just walked away from the whole island. So the Bridge and Port Authority actually bought it, and now you can take a boat. They've been restoring it. It's a really cool thing. Like, if you guys ever end up coming up this way to visit, that's like one. When people come up here, they're like, what do you need to do? You got to go to Bolt Castle. Like, it's a day. It's a cool thing. You get to get on the river, get on a boat, walk on a castle on an island, and it is gorgeous. And Thousand Islands was up this way. It was him or something else that we covered in the Yorktown. But we were talking about fruit. Have you ever heard of star fruit? It's also it's really called a carambola, I think. The oldest brought one home and like, you have to try this. It tastes like grapes. And I was like, so why don't you get grapes? Well, I was like, just get a grape then. I don't like grapes. Why am I going to like this? You got to try it. And it's like, cool. We're trying to be healthy. Cool. And I take a bite. It tastes like you were to go out into a forest or something and just grab something off a goddamn thing, not wash it, just eat it. And it still like has roots and dirt. And you're just like, yeah, this is great. Being healthy is fantastic. And so goddamn expensive.
Yeah.
Why is it so expensive to be healthy?
Yeah, for sure. Starfruit's got a weird aftertaste to it. I'm not a fan of it. It's and I'm with you there. Yeah. It's one of those things where you try it once, like passion fruit. What's that one that's like the white fruit with the black seeds in it? Oh God. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that one be. While you're looking that up, wasn't a name back in the day mints? Wasn't that like a popular name like for females? I was just thinking if you dated a mints back in the day and you're like, got them condiments, and you're just like, oh shit, they're getting ready to not make a baby, but they're gonna have some fun. And maybe that's how it started. It was Mints's husband that went and got some probably sheepskin condoms. I was like, got them condiments. You got the, let's call that ketchup and mustard. They're condiments. I wonder how that came around. Sorry.
Dragon fruit.
Every time that I always think about like how names are invented, I always circle back, unintended here, to Lazy Susan, and just thinking about the guy that invented that and was just like, this lazy bitch, I can't stand her. I'm going to invent something. You know, I'm going to use. And they're like, wow, this is a great invention. What are you going to call it? A Lazy Susan. And you know what I mean? And she's sitting there and I was like, you son of a bitch. Just you motherfucker. Every time it just warms my heart knowing that that guy got the last laugh and now everyone just calls it a Lazy Susan.
We got to bring them back. We got to bring them back. I have four in my house. Four. So if you guys don't have any, I'm keeping the average up for you guys.
I'm one.
Since we're talking fruits, have you guys seen the like non-GMO bananas?
No.
Like bananas naturally have these big seeds in them. These like, you know how like banana have like little seeds and you can eat the whole thing and there's no problem, whatever. Mm-hmm. Banana, like, let me send you a picture. It looks really weird. Oh, God damn it. Probably should send the right thing.
The banana says, let me give you my
Although the wrong thing could end up being pretty funny.
You sent me a link that says large seed, and I don't know where to go. But yeah, these bananas have these like really huge seeds in them, and you obviously can't eat them. I'm guessing they would hurt your teeth. But it's kind of off-putting. You look at it and you're like, ugh.
White fruit gets black seed, and that is not what popped up whenever I looked. What is this?
Oh, gee, I would think that was mold.
Yeah. And you can Google other versions of it, too. Like, there's a bunch of different. But natural, wild-grown bananas look like that.
You say banana. I say banana.
Okay.
Banana. Interesting.
Banana. You mentioned watermelon being gross, and I 100% support your decision with that. I think mine is mainly just, it's a texture thing. It's like, ooh, you guys want some cotton candy water? That's what this is. It's just a little chunky water. Just want to eat it? I'm like... No,
yeah, it's just no. I don't.
It's not good. The textures is makes it's like touching wet food in a sink. No, thank you.
Holy shit! I was looking that up because I was really curious about the name Mints, which was a really popular name. There was thousands of them in the U.S. According to a census in 2010. But condiments has been around since ancient times in Greece, Rome, China, and India. The word condiment comes from the Latin words condimento, which means spice, seasoning, or sauce, and condire, C-O-N-D-I-R-E, which means to preserve, pickle, or season. Educational show.
We learn something every single week.
Mustard has been around since 300 BC. How can you hate it? Yeah, it was used by ancient Sumerians in 300 BC.
Who invented the spicy brown? Honestly, because if there's a statue that needs to be erected.
A French chef made mayonnaise in 1756.
Ooh, I don't like mayonnaise anymore.
The French.
Oh, oui, oui.
Si, oui, oui. Ketchup and mayonnaise combo, though. Talking about mixing two of them together. That is just top tier.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's and a little bit of relish.
The brown mustard plant originated in the Himalayas. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Brown mustard is the base for most American and European mustard. It's also the mustard served in Chinese restaurants in America. Brown mustard has a strong flavor, stronger than the white mustard.
You know, I'm going to hijack this. I'm sorry. But you brought up Sumeria and Sumerians. You know, we talk about history and what we know about recorded history. And I'm not going to be exact on the number, but humans have been around. Yes, exactly. 69 years ago is no. humans have been around for give or take about 100,000 years. And that we know of in our current Homo sapien form. Recorded history that we know of civilizations only goes back to Sumer or the Sumerians, mm-hmm. which is about 3,100 years ago. Before that, of course, people existed, but we don't have any information on them. We haven't found any details about them or anything like that. Isn't what my point being is? Want to blow your mind here, Euban, on a smoky Sunday morning? Isn't that crazy to think that it only goes back about 3,100 years BC? 3,100 years BC, so about 5,000 years ago, is all we have for recorded history. In 100,000 years for humans, 6 billion years for the universe.
It's because time doesn't exist.
Tommy Wawingy.
All I picture is Euban's brain saying something like he just can't get over BC. I feel like there's funny acronyms running through his brain the minute that you said BC. And I just feel like he's stuck on that. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's just the time situation again, and then you just think about all these other things, just like, you know, again, how old the Earth is, and just in relative how small we are compared to the entire universe. And it's just, again, a dark, deep path of just realizing how truly insignificant you are. And I'm going to hit my pen one more time. This is just this is too deep. Because I'm in too deep, and I'm trying. There's your karaoke for that. That's three in a row. Let's start charging these folks.
I want to clarify that it's what we know of civilizations, not that we haven't found, you know, nomadic tribes with beads and things like that, that predate that. It's that we haven't found an actual civilization of an actual like settled place.
True.
That is
true.
That is crazy. I don't know. It's just honestly what gets me now is the fact of let me see if I can go down deep your guys' little mind holes here. What makes me nervous is the hole. Fact that ooh.
You can come into my mind hole anytime you want.
Oh my god, I just got two forms of consent from each of you. I'm excited. Okay. All right. Well, the fact that everything is going digital, okay, it makes you think that if society were to collapse or something significant were to happen to where catastrophic, you know, something, everything, you know, say if the internet gets turned off, you know, something, like you're losing a lot of everything that we're keeping is digital now. I fear like what's going to happen when all these, you know, books and everything else, because we're printing less, we're doing all this stuff, ceases to exist whenever something bad happens.
You know, well, I'll tell you this. We're so far, people don't think about this, on the surface of the earth in 100, 200 years, if our civilization were to end, it would all be decayed and things would be gone and stuff like that. But we have so much buried underneath the ground. Like, you guys have played Fallout or at least heard of Fallout, that type of stuff that's already that stuff would exist and last for a lot longer. So we could at least not flourish or but people would find it and be like, what the hell is this? And understand it way more than paintings on a cave thousands of years later is what I'm getting at.
Right.
Yep. So if some like alien species landed on Earth after we're long gone and found stuff deep in the earth, and they could potentially find and understand exactly what had happened a little more, to your point, I think is kind of where you're getting at, Euban.
Right.
With the digital stuff, because I know for sure we've got stuff underground in salt mines that's miles underneath the earth.
Yeah.
So
we also have cheese caves. Where the aliens come over and they start seeing the cheese caves. I'm going to circle back again, you know, 18 episodes.
You think they're not there already?
Wait a minute. There's cheese caves?
Oh, you don't know? In the state just south of you. So
Kansas has cheese caves?
Oh, you're in Kansas. Oh, sorry. I forgot you were in Iowa. I thought you were in Iowa. I forgot you moved. That's right. Missouri has some cheese caves down in, I want to say, just towards Joplin, Branson, Springfield area. So there was there were some cheese caves. So
thousands of pounds of American cheese are in these caves too. They were limestone mines, I believe, that they converted into these cheese caves.
There might be some in Kansas. There could be. Yeah. But I know there was a lot in Missouri, and I was like, if we ever need to.
And it started in the 80s when they were doing this.
That's some top government queso.
Imagine the cheese they're not telling. It's funny that you were throwing all this stuff back, because on the day that this recording comes out, it's actually National Letter Writing Day. So make sure you guys all write a letter and then scan it and email it to matt@beardlaws.com, and we'll share your letters, because I'm not giving you my address. I can give you the studio address if you really want, but email me to get it. And I think it's the start of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah, everybody. My math might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the 7th is Hanukkah. I don't know, though. We're going to go with it, I'm pretty sure. It's also National Cotton Candy Day, though. National Illinois Day. I just brought it back up, and it's National Joy Day. National Rena Day, and National Judith Day. So shout out to the Judiths, the Renas, and Cotton Candy in Illinois, Hanukkah, and Flag of India Day as well. So hopefully you all are enjoying that December 7th.
Wild.
We were talking about old stuff and stuff underground. Did you guys hear the story? And I don't know why it kept popping up on all my news, but they found skeletal remains in Florida in a lake that was like, the lake's apparently up to like 200 feet deep or something like that. And they kept saying that it could be historically significant. Every article that you find about this, it just says historically significant. So my initial thought is probably because they're really old bones, but apparently this husband and wife were diving in this lake, really small lake, and you know they're usually finding, you know, this or garbage or whatever, and she thought it was a motorcycle helmet, picked it up and it was a skull, and then they were finding vertebrae, they were finding legs, arm, all these other bones. So obviously they get the cops in and all this stuff, and if that's not crazy enough, the article goes on to say that the police then had to surround the lake with rifles because there are a ton of 8-foot alligators that live in this lake. So you have this husband and wife that are diving the lake, and all these residents are like, we would never swim in this lake because there's so many alligators. And these people are recreational diving in there, and then the cops had to protect the divers to go get the stuff out because there were so many alligators in this goddamn pond. But yeah, it was they actually searched 200 feet below the surface to get to the bottom of this lake and get as much of the remains and stuff. So when you guys hear historical find, like, what are you guys kind of on the same page as me? Like, it's probably historical because it's super old.
I'm thinking, or is it like Jimmy Hoffa, or is it like what is it? Somebody it's deep down in there with the gators. Is it somebody celebrity wise?
Yeah, you never know, right? I mean, I'm intrigued, and I think a lot of folks will be reading this and hearing this. It could be something like some Jimmy Hoffa stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be wild. But yeah, nobody's really talking. It happened 2 days ago, again in Florida. But and it could be just one of these things that maybe when they were doing a press conference and the sheriff person was just like, "It's going to be a historical significant find," and now the internet is just like, poof, every single article put the headlines, obviously historically significant. So I'm like, okay, you guys better find some shit.
I don't mean to, again, hijack the conversation, but since we're kind of going along, that we talked about time a little bit in this, essence of time here, I've gone down the rabbit hole, and my algorithm on Facebook is completely fucked because I read a lot of comments on stupid posts that have to do with the Mandela effect, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Of course.
Specifically with the film that was never created called Shazam with Sinbad. People think that they saw a movie from the 90s called Shazam with Sinbad, which was actually Kazam with Shaq. And people say, no, I actually saw it. I saw it. And everybody's saying, no, I don't care what you say. I don't care. I saw it. It was a movie I saw. We had the VHS. My mom rented it. Saw it six times. That's the evidence that people have for it. Now, I, of course, being a forward-thinking person, realize that they're full of shit, and that's not how it happened. And we just misremember things and get into groupthink so easily when we find other people that think things, we attach ourselves to that. Another one, we've talked about this before on the show, Matt, I mean, going back probably a year or so, Berenstain Bears. We remembered how it was spelled. Of course, it's not spelled Berenstain, it's Berenstain. And there's other forms of the Mandela effect. But anyway, my point is people can't even remember shit from 25 years ago. And are just so enamored with thinking that we're in a, what do they call, what is the term they use, in a glitch or in the Matrix or in, you know, where the CD is skipped and now we're on, or the record is skipped and we're on another part of the, I don't know, whatever they think is going on. It makes me smile. But for some reason, Facebook knows that I read those in comments. And so they send me the same, like, not posts, but post that has to do with the same stuff. People posting the same stuff about Sinbad, which I'm guessing is still he's still staying relevant all these years later.
Good for him. And it's funny because if you do Google Shazam, you can actually buy the VHS. And there's so many people that are holding on to it. And I do love it. It's like, for display purposes only. This is not the... And it's just funny that people are making money off that as well. And like you said, Facebook listens to everything. I mean, Euban and myself were talking about something last night. The wife was in the studio. We get out of the studio. She's checking Facebook or whatever. And she goes, isn't it creepy? You guys just talked about it. And then she had an ad that was something that we were just talking about. Some kind of food or something, whatever we were. And it was an ad right there for it. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how the world works. And just like the CIA and shit are listening on your smart TVs. I mean, it's the world you live in. You add this technology, they're going to use it to save. I mean, it's not like I have to imagine there's a bunch of perverts that are just trying to listen to random conversations because they're bored at work. They're not all trained like us, but
I got to tell you guys, a couple small notes here. If we as Americans, not to get political, I'd never get political, but if we as Americans put up with all the stuff that happened after 9/11 with the Patriot Act and the NSA tapping our phones, which as well, I mean, this isn't a conspiracy. It's well documented by NPR and by PBS and by other outlets, the New York Times and Washington Post, et cetera, that we know about and in congressional stuff that we know about. If we should have no problem with and I say this tongue in cheek, with the fact that our phones and our TVs and our smart devices listen into what we're doing. It's widely known. It's no longer a joke. We know that to be true. A professor once said to me in class, to our class, not just to me, he says, and I don't agree with this, but he said, that's the trade-off. We trade off our freedoms for the convenience that this technology brings us. And I like, I push back on that a little bit, but that's the thought from at least one side of the coin, or maybe there's more than two sides to a coin, but that, you know, this technology is giving us everything, information at our fingertips, the ability to.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Purchase a hot dog from 3 miles away and have it delivered to my house in 7 seconds. Well, not that fast, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I can purchase all my Christmas gifts and have them delivered right to my house in the middle of nowhere from China or Taiwan or Japan or Albuquerque. So,
Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, but I think at this point we should realize and know, to your point, Matt, that our devices are listening to us.
Yeah. Yeah, and and I'm loving watching the wheels turn in Eubin's brain as we talk about this, and the eyes potentially should get a little lower. They're getting a little wider, but it was something that stands out because we were talking before we pressed live, and one of his kids had one of the greatest quotes ever: "Go touch some grass." You know what yes. I mean? We were talking because our kids were screaming at each other, not mad, playing a game, excited, but talking to each other on devices, playing games, and it's like, man. We got all these, you know, and even a buddy of mine who's a coach, coaches basketball and just can't believe the lack of people that want to play sports, that want to, you know, be active and do this. And it's just, it's a weird time to be alive. Like we were talking how, like everything cycles, fashion, haircuts, clothing, and how it seems like the 70s and 80s are coming back hard with the feathered hair, the mustaches and all this stuff. I mean, at least where I am, I have to imagine it's just about everywhere where it's coming back. But I was like, yeah, it's cool and all, but man, you look at the 70s, there wasn't like any fat people. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of us out there. And I can say that I'm not the skinniest, I'm not the fattest, but there was a lot more. You see all these pictures of like Woodstock and all this stuff and the feathered hair and this. So you have people rocking that are huge. You know what I mean? It's like, what was it? So I was like, you know what? I think we need to, you know, make smoking more sociably acceptable again. That's gonna make the appetite a little bit. But you know, one of the kids was asking, like, seriously, why was everybody so much skinnier back then? And I was like, well, I don't know this, but I would think they're not sitting on their ass as much. There was a lot more hard labor jobs. Less technology, less junk food, I would have to imagine. I don't know. Again, I didn't grow up in that time, but a couple of things. And I know Brandon's like, I mean, let me in.
No. I just want to say, I think you said something that's great that we all should understand and get behind and realize when we're talking about things is sometimes it's okay to say, I don't know this. I don't know all the answers, but there are definitely lots of contributing factors. The fact that I spend a lot of my time, and not just me, but a lot of people in the world, in front of a desk, in front of a computer, playing video games, working, watching a TV. The family structure has changed in the world, in America specifically, I only speak to, in that what are we doing with our family free time? Are we spending time in front of a television? Are we spending time isolated from each other in different parts of sitting on our bed? My wife and I sit on our bed and scroll our phone for about an hour before bed. And that's not, I assume that's not abnormal from what a lot of folks do, where maybe back in the day, folks were reading newspapers or magazines and it wasn't quite that different, but it's now it's a screen. But
we're making babies. Lots.
But we're not moving as much. And there are exceptions to that rule, of course. There are folks that, you know, still work out and things like that. But what we're eating, what we're consuming, how much more processed is it? How much more have we know it's bad for us. I know going to McDonald's or wherever else, not putting you on the spot, Mickey D's. You got a close place to my heart, both in, there's a lot of McDonald's in here. But the fact that, you know, we know what we're putting into our bodies is bad, but yet we do it still. I mean, yeah. And not just that, but you go to a grocery store, everything that's not on the outside of the store is processed mostly. So lots goes into that, Matt. Well yeah. played.
Yeah. And it's in, like we talked about it earlier, keep cycling back, like eating healthy. So like it sucks. It doesn't taste great. And it's super expensive. Like, you know what I mean? I have to like, I back in the day, I was trying to eat super healthy and this and that. I mean, it was outrageously priced. And then if you want an entire household to eat healthy stuff, like even if you wanted to do this carnivore diet that people want to do, just go out and buy a bunch of steak for the week.
Whew. Yeah. It's, you know, I know mine is, it has to be some of the snacks that were out because I don't know how these people were getting the munchies and just, what are they, just eating carrots? What the fuck is going on? Because I can't do it. I see Rice Krispie treats and I'm like, that's going down. There's a Pop-Tart, brown sugar cinnamon or whatever it is. You bet your ass that's going down.
Well, here's the thing. To that point, not to cut you off, Euban.
No, absolutely.
It's they've got it down to a science. And I don't mean this in a conspiracy way. The processed food, the things that they put in there, they make us want to, and I say the things because I'm not a scientist and I don't know, but I know that they're addictive in that we want more. You see me drinking a fucking 2-liter Diet Coke here? This shit is not good for you. It's terrible for you. The more you drink it, the more you're thirsty. The more I drink it, the more I want. It's not water. It's delicious though. I love you, Coke. Please sponsor. But it's not good for you. And I know that it's not good for me. I know that Pop-Tarts aren't good for me. I know that. But then when you taste a Pop-Tart, what does it do? Bing to your brain. Oh my God, this is delicious. This is great. You may not feel, it's like going to a buffet. You think about going to a buffet. Oh, this is going to be fucking fabulous. Mm-hmm. Do you ever leave a buffet thinking this was the greatest decision of my life? No, you never think that. I probably shouldn't have done this. This was awful. I'm probably going to be full for a while. That's the one box it checks off. The other box is I need to get to a toilet so I can grab on for dear life.
Absolutely.
But the point is that it's a cycle. We're hungry for it, so we eat it. We eat it. It gives us the feeling in our brain that it's delicious. The feeling in our brain that's delicious makes us feel good. And it, you know what I mean? So it's just a cycle over and over again of I'm going to eat terrible things. Eating fucking carrots is awful. It tastes like shit. I don't want to, I have to chew and chew and chew and chew. There's no flavor. It tastes like water. I don't want to eat that.
No.
And that's all up here.
And if you do want it, you're like, oh, hey, a salad or, you know, carrots or everything. Oh, can I have some ranch? Well, don't do too much because it's bad for you. I want something to make this fucking edible, for Christ's sakes, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, you were touching on it earlier, Brandon, in the fact convenience plays a huge role in this. Again, with the snacks and what's available in the fridge, which I guess you could have pre-made meals and stuff. I don't have to pre-make a Pop-Tart. You know what the most extensive work that I have to do for a Pop-Tart? Open it up, and usually I don't even have to cook it. I'll raw dog that motherfucker right out of the package. I give no fucks. But if I'm feeling a little elegant, if I want to treat myself to a nice little midnight snack, I'm putting that motherfucker in the toaster. I'm getting some butter out. As soon as that comes out, put a slab of butter on that.
Fucking out the back.
What side do you? What side? Yeah, what side do you butter?
Oh, so maybe I'm doing this wrong. I don't do the back. I do the top. I'm letting that thing melt right on, and I'm eating that brown sugar cinnamon.
So put it on the back because it soaks into the pastry. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I'd say.
Okay.
It soaks into the pastry. And I thought, I was like, this is gross. It's going to be gross. And it's delicious. But to your point, though, I don't even fucking separate them. I eat them double. I open it up and double it out. I'm eating it straight out of the fucking package.
Well, no, I was just thinking, I want to get this out of my brain real quick. I mean, you're the food daddy and you have the judge. I think you need to add a science character to your creations where you have a little bit of fun as this crazy the food scientist, and you can have some fun with. I think that's a good thing for the Brandon J. McDermott brand.
I've got a wig upstairs that's a horseshoe wig. You've seen me in it. It's a long white hair.
Dude, I'm all about, and it wouldn't be hard to look up like a 30-second fact about some kind of food or something, and it's an educational/fun scientist, Brandon. I'm about this.
Matt, you beautiful bastard.
Yeah, that's the first time. While we're doing the scientific and the food stuff, I wanted to tell the Brandons, but definitely you brought up 70s. And they're like, what are they eating, carrots and shit? I Googled from seasonalcravings.com the 10 most popular snacks from the 70s that you might have forgotten about. And if you look at the picture of the 70s, most of them are still here. I'm telling you. One, Jell-O pudding pops apparently was one of the biggest ones. Apparently they did go away or whatever, but Jell-O pudding pops was big. Carnation breakfast bars still a thing. Danish go-rounds, which I didn't know about these, but it's a famous snack from the 70s. They're a fruit-filled pastry that have a spiral shape. They come in different flavors, strawberry, cinnamon. They're kind of like Pop-Tarts, but better. Kellogg's was the company behind it, and Danish go-rounds, but they apparently they broke too quickly, so they were replaced by Danish rings in 76, but they were not as popular, so they were discontinued in the 80s.
I honestly think to that point too, it's not that we're not eating the foods that we ate. I think there are so many contributing factors. There's not, just so you understand what I mean by that, there's not one thing. Lack of exercise, our diets have changed in that we're not eating family dinners like we once were. So we're turning to these processed foods on a quick go. We're not working in factories like we were or in fields like we were. There are still folks who do those things. Mm-hmm. But most of our jobs have been refined to where we can sit, we can stay stationary. We are not moving. And my whole entire career has been on that, as you can see. being a journalist, being a writer, sitting in front of a computer. Sure, I'm in the field every now and then. But, you know, so there's so many different things that contribute to this. And I think the biggest thing that has kind of exponentially moved us in that direction are the fact that I'm looking at a screen, but when I'm done looking at my screen, I'm going to go look at my other screen. You know what I mean? Like, and then when I'm done looking at that screen, I'm going to check my other screen to see what time it is. And then I'm going to, you know, so there's just so many, things that are catching our attention and that we're not moving now. We're saying stay more stationary.
I mean, every time I look at my smartwatch, I'm just like, dude, I'm Inspector Gadget. I fucking love this. I never thought I'd have this in my entire life as a kid. Now I can afford and wear a smartwatch. Like, hell yeah.
Dude, I go shopping and it's the greatest experience now. I put my fucking AirPods in and I'm walking and all I have to say is Siri skip. Because I'm listening to a playlist of like fucking, I'm like going into battle. Get out of the way, Marjorie. Like, I don't have to talk to people or listen to people anymore. And that's awful. It is. Like, if you think about it, like, that's awful. Like, I get to the line. I don't even take my ear pods out. I don't even mute. So give you a quick story. It was the day before Thanksgiving. Fucking awful. It was so packed. I had to park in the very last spot on the parking lot, all the way at the end, after driving for 60 seconds in circles until somebody left. Like, that's how packed it was. Wow. Get inside. People were just like being rude and stuff. And I just had my AirPods in, so I was okay. I was going to get that. I get to the front of the line and ring my stuff up. And I know what this guy is going to say. Don't even need to stop my music. He says, do you have a rewards card? I have a phone number. And so then I read the number off and I look at his lips and he says, like, repeats my last four digits. And I say, yes, that's correct. And then, you know, do you need help out? No, I don't need any help. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you too. You know, like, I don't even need to stop talking. Like, I can tell he's kind of frustrated and mad that I haven't even like stopped my music. He probably can hear it because I've got it blasting, but I don't want to, I've got anxiety. So like I can be in my mode and my place without having to be filled with. Anyway, I know that was
funny. He's going in his mind, he's saying the number and it's all calm, but in reality, if you were to take the headphones out, he's like, it's 1, 2, 3 and super loud.
8, 7, 4, 3
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Todd.
Have a good day.
Not to to hijack this conversation and go back to Pop-Tarts here, but I was like, you know what? There's one thing that I like to do. Like, I was like, is there any Pop-Tart hacks? Because they're talking about the butter and everything else. And one thing that somebody mentioned to me on TikTok a few years ago was putting them in the freezer and just you would be able to break them off and just the way that it melts in your mouth and the way they eat it, they go, it is awesome in the freezer. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. And they said, put it in your ice cream. And I was like, oh. Delicious. So then I go on and I was like, let me see some Pop-Tart hacks. And I'm rarely on Reddit. I probably should be on it more, but
no, it's good.
And it says, does anyone have Pop-Tart hacks? And, you know, gullible me You know, this guy goes, hey, if you put it in the microwave for 30 seconds and you cut off one of the edges and you blow it up with your mouth like a balloon and you fill it with whipped cream. I'm like, God damn, my mouth is watering. I'm like, this sounds amazing. And then he goes, it makes the perfect fake vagina. And I was like, you had me the first half, you son of a bitch, but I'm still going to try the second half. God damn. I was like,
So what's your question? Go ahead, Gibby.
No, I was, well, that was the reason. So if you saw me like hyperventilating earlier, I apologize. That caught me completely off guard, but also I'm going to try it.
What's your favorite Fat Boy sandwich? Like your go-to that I shouldn't be eating this. Nobody's ever done this. It can be sweet or savory. If I told anybody about this, they would definitely be like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. So, okay. So I guess, so if I'm going for an actual like sandwich, it's probably just like a genuine club and I'm putting chips on it and stuff. But if I'm going fat, just, oh, I'm going to die after this. Probably it's a cheeseburger and it's considered a sandwich. It has two grilled cheese sandwiches as the buns with bacon in it. So it's a grilled cheese sandwich, thick one with Texas toast, bacon. Then it's two cheeseburgers with bacon and cheese in it.
What kind of
another
cheese?
Another grilled cheese sandwich.
Swiss, American Swiss?
That's the place. Yeah, the American Swiss place. But this fucking burger, it is just, if I'm ever just feeling like, hey, what can I eat today to gain 10 pounds? I'm like, oh, I'm getting that burger. That burger, I need it. And there's so much grease where you're like, I'm going to break out in pimples. Like, I'm going to get shit because it is just, it's like eating wet pussy, gentlemen. That sandwich is fucking delicious.
What are you doing down there? Nothing. Scooping out tallow and
just eating this sandwich.
What about you, Matt?
I don't really have one. My stomach doesn't allow me to eat shit like that. I wish I did. I guess the worst, and it's not really like a fat boy thing, but it's not needed, I guess, is I love fried peanut butter and jellies instead of just having a peanut butter and jelly. You know, obviously put the mayonnaise or butter, whatever is your go-to, and kind of cook it up like a grilled cheese, but with peanut butter and jelly. Like so, I said, it's not needed, but.
So when we were poor, my mother made Indian fried bread, which was, of course, not Indian fried bread. It was literally like, we're too poor for eggs. So it's flour and water with bread in it. And you're making French toast out of that is basically what it was. Maybe some cinnamon. And we didn't even have syrup. So we used peanut butter and jelly. And so like peanut butter and jelly French toast is great now. But for a sandwich, for me, Fat Boy sandwich, white bread, peanut butter, chocolate chips, little Hershey syrup, and a fucking slather of white frosting.
Oh.
Or like cream cheese frosting even. Like peanut butter and cream cheese frosting together on a sandwich is delicious. That is as Fat Boy as it gets, my dude. You're eating frosting on a sandwich, my guy. You're gonna die.
I thought you were gonna do a callback to the real bananas, and I'm like, how that you? If you're putting fruit on something,
no,
even if it's not healthy, that's not Fat Boy. I was gonna argue, but no banana.
The chocolate chips. I know you're like, why would I want to eat chunky chocolate? It adds a texture to it because you're crunching now. Mm-hmm. You have a smoothie peanut butter. The chunky. It's. I'm telling you, next time you get a chance, don't worry about the Hershey syrup, but use chocolate chips, peanut butter, and any kind of frosting on a sandwich.
That's what you tell them. You go, hey. This is proof that chips make any sandwich better, including chocolate chips. We're going to allow it. We allow it. Chips go on sandwiches. And I guess there's one other weird sandwich that I get from Sonic. I'm not an egg person. I hate egg. So if there's a breakfast sandwich, like, hey, do you want bacon and egg or sausage and egg? I go, hey, can I remove that egg and get a sausage and bacon and cheese sandwich? And they're like, no. Think about it. It's a breakfast bacon cheeseburger, essentially, is what this is. And I was like, this is what I want on Texas toast. It's so fucking good. I can feel the meat sweats before I even get halfway done with this. But I'm like, fuck that egg. I don't need that egg.
And if you think about it, if you were able to, you know, formulate egg into like a scramble and cut a little slit, you could literally fuck the egg.
Oh, see, there's so many. I didn't even go down to the third option on Reddit to see if there was potentially any other way to fuck this Pop-Tart.
If there has to be. You know. There's always another one. I guess, too, and the sandwiches, because you were saying French toast and stuff, the Monte Cristo. I haven't had one in a while, but isn't that French toast as the bread with all the meats and the mustards and everything? Isn't that what they're called, a Monte Cristo? Have you guys?
Monte Cristo is literally just it's a sandwich, but they deep fry it. And then they put powdered sugar on it. So it's battered, yes. It's battered and deep fried. I don't know if it's necessarily French toast, but
okay. Yeah, I thought up here, it's an egg dipped or battered ham and cheese sandwich. So I'm kind of like I guess, like a French toast. Oh, but yeah,
those are delightful.
Those are fantastic as well.
Maybe the ones here, again, texture thing, it's too sweet. I tried it, and it was just like, oh, hey, here's this hot ham and cheese with a lot of sugar and powdered sugar and just...
What about the opposite side of that coin, Euban? What about a cheese Frenchie?
Cheese, elaborate.
It's a grilled cheese sandwich. Grilled cheese sandwich, egg battered, either like a not cornmeal, but like a cornflake batter on top of that, and then deep fried. And sometimes people put a little mayonnaise in the sandwich, so you're getting cheese and mayo in a grilled cheese, deep fried grilled cheese sandwich.
Is that a Nebraska thing?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just Nebraska, but yes, cheese Frenchie.
I typed in cheese Frenchie, and it says Nebraska's deep fried grilled cheese sandwich. How to make a grilled cheese Frenchie, Nebraska, and it just was linking everything to Omaha and Lincoln.
Oh shit! Well, yeah, you guys suppose so. Ritz crackers, somebody used instead of Ritz crackers, like crumbled up as the thing to dip it in. I know what I'm making.
Oh my god!
Oh, it's delicious. I've
never seen this before.
It's delicious.
I haven't seen it as well, and that's going to stay up on that Google tab.
God, I'm hungry and hard. This is...
it's so good. How can you have a bad grilled cheese sandwich, you know?
I am a sucker.
I want to do Doritos. Like, I want to do, like a crunch of just, like, Doritos or something, you know? Like, oh, mm-hmm. Fuck, the possibilities are endless.
Red or ranch Doritos?
I like the barbecue ones. Have you ever had the barbecue Doritos? Top tier.
No.
My favorite Dorito, the green salsa verde. Oh, a spicy cheese, bro. I'm going to send you guys so many pictures of all of the just the fat foods that I'm going to be eating this today. They're like, hey, do you still have your feet? You know, that's what you guys are going to ask me tomorrow. I'm like, nope, not at all. I think I have all the ingredients to make your dessert sandwich, Brandon. And you bet your ass I'm trying that today. I think I have to.
Oh, dude.
It's the only thing I think I'm missing. Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't even matter what. I usually, so you could use chocolate frosting, but I always go with the white or the cream cheese frosting.
I don't like a lot of chocolate, so I'm thinking, and I'm wondering too, like you were talking about the texture of the chips. I'm almost wondering, I think I have the Reese's peanut butter chips.
So hungry. The first time my wife saw me eat that, she was like, what are you doing? I was like, woman, just take a bite. I'm not eating that. Took a bite and she was like, can I have another bite? I was like, yeah, you bet.
Can you make me one? What you don't know is when you're at work, she has one probably once a week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's calling that's it what so is that a thing or is that a your creation? Because if you created it, you gotta have a name for it, right? Did I miss the name?
Me? Oh, I've never even named it. I suppose we should. I probably should do a video on it.
I think you should, you know, and then eventually that's gonna but jot these down because when you have two different cookbooks, the fat daddy judge or the, you know what I mean? You got that cookbook, then you're gonna have your scientific recipe cookbook. So,
Matt, I need to talk to you. If I were to want to do a cookbook, could you send me in the right direction on like illustration, who to use? And kind of, we can do it on Amazon, so that's not a problem. But
yeah, Amazon. And like I said, and some people, oh, Amazon. And I talked with Reed the other day, Reed the Llama King, who put out a book, and he did the whole self-publish and everything, and he has a lot of books that are chilling in his garage to the point he can't get there. And we did bring it up because any of the books that I did went right through Amazon Publishing. It's like, why wouldn't you? It's print on demand. They take their cut. You have to not have a publishing company. The only downfall is you don't get the added benefits of having a company help market it, help, you know, publish it, help edit it, all that stuff. But if you're doing a cookbook,
when you have your own brand, I mean, mm-hmm. like you don't need a company, you know, you throw it out into the ethos and hope something good happens.
Yep. And I'm actually talking with somebody too, because I'm in the process of a third book. So I'm going through another illustration thing. So yeah, definitely. And the beauty of a cookbook is though, you don't need as much illustration because it's going to be actual pictures of the food. So we can lay it out. You know what I mean? Like you don't need, you know, cartoon versions essentially of it. We can help lay it out of, you know, you take the picture, we do the writing, we have the format. And when you do the book on Amazon, they have the software. You lay it out and what you put in it is how it's printed. You just pick a size, you lay it out, boom.
Love it.
Yeah, we're going to look at $1 million ideas.
So many. And I'm just looking at recipes.
Now. He's looking at pictures of sandwiches.
I am. You guys just.
I haven't seen you this happy in weeks.
Oh my God, you guys have just made my day. I went back to the Pop-Tart thing as well, and it seems like it's a genuine consensus of the brown cinnamon sugar or brown sugar ones are the top tier Pop-Tart would to go with ice cream. Any ice cream is what I'm seeing on here. So
interesting.
Now, there was also one that said toast two brown sugar Pop-Tarts, remove, eat away the unfrosted edges, carefully peel off and remove slash eat the unfrosted backs, put the two remaining halves together with filling in the center. Now consume those tasty bastards while rubbing nipples for maximum pleasure.
Did you know that Carl's Jr. actually sold a Pop-Tart ice cream sandwich at one point?
No, but also we call them Hardee's around here. Same thing. But they had the Fruit Loop donuts.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of those.
Fucking exquisite.
Yeah. Problem with me is, and you can relate, if I eat a donut, I have less than 5 minutes from the time I take the first bite before something starts to, I don't know. I know donuts, the way they're made and all that. I'm assuming that any donut from any place, I've tried local restaurants, I've tried fast food, I've tried, you know, the Tim Hortons, any of them. Goddamn donuts, they're just on my no-fly zone. Every time I take a bite, I got 5 minutes before it is intense diarrhea. And it sucks because donuts are fantastic.
I don't think I have that issue with donuts. But then again, though, I don't think I'm ever stopping at just a donut. So maybe I'm thinking it's the 13 other things that I've probably digested within that hour. So it's hard telling.
There's a lot of Pop-Tart breakfast sandwiches and stuff like that. You got the Pop-Tart breakfast sandwich. Like I just looked real quick. Apparently there's DisneyFoodBlog.com, which I have to imagine somebody stole. Oh, Brandon, you gotta go. You're laughing hard. Go.
I just wanted to say something. I know we got a little bit of time left. I wanted to say something that happened last night before we get going. I had the worst movement I've ever had in my life. And my wife comes into the bathroom and she's like, "Oh my God, it smells like you shit vomit." I've never been more proud in my life.
That's a good one. Awesome.
I go, "Is it sweet smelling?" She goes, "It smells like you shit vomit."
No, what did you eat?
A bologna sandwich, some spicy ramen noodles, some jalapeno popper potato salad. Oh yes. And then some of my chipped beef cream cheese onion dip that I make.
That would make a shit that smells like a vomit. I would have to agree. As soon as you said it, I can almost smell that smell. Not only maybe it hasn't came from me, but I worked maintenance for a very long time and had to clean so many shitters in the male and female. Yeah, that's right, people. We still had separate bathrooms when I was cleaning them, and they were terrible. We had a funny conversation. We went to an Italian, like a true kind of Italian pizza place, one of my favorite pizza places around, about 40 minutes away on the way home from basketball. It was an extra large pizza, 20 wings. And of course it's me and all the girls, and we crushed it. There was not a chicken wing. There was not there. They had this sauce that they've created, the Raven sauce. It's like a sweet and spicy sauce. Most of the girls don't eat chicken wings, but all of a sudden they said, "I want to eat some chicken wings." A little bit spicy. The medium had a little bit of zing to it. And so did this sauce. And the middle child was like pounding water, not a chicken wing, not a spicy eater. I'm like, "You good? My lips are burning." So I was telling you, when I played the old, "Hey, your lips are burning. Let's stop and just get ice cream." You know what I mean? So I'm like, "Yeah, ice cream." But I was explaining on the ride home. I'm like, "Listen, you think it goes down spicy? Wait till it comes out. And I didn't want to scare him. I was like, "Just kidding." And I'm like, "I can't wait for the follow-up. Hey, you pooped today yet? Did it burn a little bit?" Because, I mean, I don't know how this is another one for the Brandon Science thing. I feel like it comes out spicier than it goes in. So I want, maybe that can be a topic too. Why does it come out hotter than when it goes in and out? I mean, they say it's the same muscles, right?
I think your butthole lips are just a little bit more sensitive.
Mine are for sure. I don't know about yours.
Maybe those bussy lips are a little too sensitive.
Oh, those little bussy lips, huh?
You got a chapped bussy there, boy? A little chapstick on there?
I thought my uncle was in the chat there for a second. My gosh. So you were talking about ordering the pizza and just absolutely smashing it. So quickly, I guess I'll ask you guys. So whenever you're ordering pizza, are you like me and getting one extra pizza because you know That's lunch tomorrow. I'm not cooking lunch tomorrow. If we're ordering pizza, it's dinner tonight and breakfast and lunch tomorrow. Do you guys do
I don't
the same
because
thing?
Typically 9 out of 10 times we get pizza. I make the pizzas. I love making pizza. Like I probably it's kind of one of those things. Like they say, do what you love and you don't work a day in your life. But also, in my opinion, if you do what you love, then you don't love it anymore because you do it every goddamn day. You know, yeah. Like people that play video games professionally can't imagine they love it that much, but they love making pizza. So we make a lot of homemade pizzas, but I'll make 2 doughs. Tons of different pizzas, so there is leftover. Leftover pizza is one of the greatest things ever. And I think Brandon McDermott almost started his day with some leftover pizza or freshly cooked pizza. Pizza in the morning just hits different.
It was leftover frozen pizza that was cold from the refrigerator.
Oh yes. That's what my my kids always get mad because I'm always like, hey, you guys want a slice of pizza? And I'll just put it on a plate. Or me, I'm old school. I get a piece of like a paper towel. I'm like, there you go. I'm not doing dishes. I'm not even wasting paper plates. You got a paper towel. Eat off that. And they're like, you're not even going to put it in the microwave? Why would I do that? It's cold pizza. It's good. And they're like, you're fucking weird, Dad. Like, no. We
little hot sauce.
Warmed up. Yeah, see, little hot sauce on there, cold pizza. Chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. Kids definitely get their worst traits from their mother.
100%. Absolutely. Yep. But all right, looked at the clock, quickest hour of the day probably, except for when I decide to lose a whole bunch of money on football. But either way, can't thank you guys enough. Thanks for everybody listening. I did see at one point, I wanted to throw this out there, Blur, if you're listening, I did see you were in the studio. We got a late start, so I didn't want to start it off with there. By the time I was going to announce it and let you in, it does appear that you were gone. I did see you back there. So I'm going to try to push. I didn't push anything for the viewer stuff. I have 3 to 5 people that say they're going to do it. So I'm going to get after them next week. We'll continue to get some people to call in, ask a question, have a little bit of some fun with it. And if you're listening to this and you'd love to, come in. I don't even care if you're a business and you just want to promote your stuff. That's fine with me. We'll give you 30, 60 seconds, whatever it is. We're going to have some fun with it. And like I said, come in, ask us some weird advice. Maybe there's some stuff going on in your life and you're not really sure what to do. It's a holiday time. We will give you the best worst advice that we can come up with as 3 dudes that have we've all seen some shit. We've lived different but somewhat similar lives, and we can probably as a group come up with a pretty cool suggestion or whatever. So let's get somebody to come in, ask for some advice on a weird or normal or tough situation. We got you. But either way, see you next week. Check out Triple T. Check out these guys. You've been whacking off on the social medias. Brandon J. McDermott on the social medias. Can't thank you guys enough. I don't know if you guys got anything else.
Yeah, my name might not be you've been whacking off, but I've also. I'm just kidding. Love you, boys.
Yeah, love you too, brother.
Love you too. I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Hell yeah. Well, let's Yeah, for us, we're going to have a good weekend and a good week. And you guys, he didn't do it. I saw it. I would have if I was next to you on camera. But,
oh, dang it. I always go the wrong way. Are we doing this? So hold on, Matt. You're
you ruined the moment. You ruined it. The moment is gone.
It's over.
It's over. And so is this episode. We'll see you guys. Oh, shout out Deluxe Edition Network. Better late than never. Maybe we'll put this at the beginning. Maybe we'll just. There's new podcasts of the month. I don't know why Brandon trying to give Brandon a kiss triggered this, but either way, it's the December podcast of the Deluxe Edition Network, the Deluxe Edition podcast with Casey and Ray. Shout out to them in the Steve and Crypto Show. Make sure you guys check them out. DeluxeEditionNetwork.com. That's all we got. That's the show. All right, let's go eat some food.
Yes. All right,
later.
In the realm of beard loss, a trio strong and true. You've been Brandon and beard loss with tales both old and new. Their whiskers like a forest, their knowledge like a stream, guiding us through beardom and culinary dream. Beard loss, the sage of facial grace, with whiskers flowing, setting the pace. You've been the jester in clouds of green, laughs and wisdom and sight unseen. Brandon J. McDermott, food daddy supreme, a feast of facts, a culinary dream. Beard loss, the patriarch, his beard a regal crown, a symbol of authority in every bustling town. His wisdom, like bristles, sharp and well-defined, guiding all the bearded with every law outlined. You've been whacking off with laughter in his stride, weed in his hand, and jokes worldwide. A mirthful spirit, lighting up the room in the haze of humor, dispelling any gloom. Beard loss, the sage of facial grace, with whiskers flowing, setting the pace. You've been the jester in clouds of green, laughs and wisdom and sight unseen. Brandon J. McDermott, food daddy supreme, a feast of facts, the culinary dream. Together they unite a trio strong and bold, and beard laws and laughter and stories to be told. In the culinary realm that conquer every quest, a podcast that unlanes all the very best. Brandon D. McDermott, food daddy at the helm, master in the culinary every flavor realm. From spices to techniques, a foodie's delight, guiding our taste buds day and night. Beard Law's the sage of facial grace, with whiskers flowing, setting the pace. You've been the jester in clouds of green, laughs and wisdom and sight unseen. Brandon J. McDermott, food daddy supreme, a feast of facts, the culinary dream. So gather around, will listeners keen, to the Beard Law's podcast, a vibrant scene. With Beard Law's and culinary flair, a journey of knowledge beyond compare.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.